Good morning. It's the first Friday of the month, and you know what that means. Sandra the Plant Lady is here with the Plant Rant.
Good morning.
Good morning. It is a good morning. Sunshiny weather's been just
It's
great.
Been beautiful this yeah. week. That was a little oppressive for a few weeks there. Now it's
that was,
it's feeling
yeah.
good. It was a few rough days in the greenhouse there.
I'll bet
so
that
much
was
hotter
tough.
Inside. It was.
Yeah.
It was hot.
When I was a kid, 16 years old, I had a job in a greenhouse in Neillsville, my hometown. And summertime was tough. Really tough. But that's okay. I got over it. So what's on the plant rant for today?
Well, we have a guest today. So I brought with me today Eric Anderson, who's here from St. Croix Valley Hops in St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin, by Deer Lake. And we're going to learn about all things hops today. We're going to be hoppy.
Well, my question always has been, what in the heck is hops?
Well, good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Morning, Eric.
Hops are a herbaceous perennial. They're just a plant that, it's a perennial plant that starts from the ground level every year and grows.
Wow.
And it's used for brewing beer is its main and pretty much only use. It has a few things that it tries. That people try to do with it, but it's usually just used for brewing beer. So
okay, so it's just one of the ingredients that
it's
ferment?
One of the four ingredients in beer.
Oh, okay.
So I always like to ask people, like, so how did you get started? Like, why hops? How did you get started with hops versus, you know, growing something else? Or
yep. Well, my background is basically in growing all kinds of different crops, mainly ornamentals, cut flowers. So we started growing hops for the cut flower industry, and from there it's taken off.
Oh, wow. So, and so people are still using them?
So we still, we still do hop garland, basically. We sell basically full or partial binds for garland, a lot of wedding work.
So at the Polk County Fair this year in the horticulture building, they had actually decorated, they have that kind of little fake arbor kind of type thing in the center of their building for some accent, and they actually had some dried hop
plants,
vines.
Yep.
And you're saying vines, so most people would think of hops as a vine and don't know what vine means. So what is a vine versus a vine?
Well, a vine is, and there's only a few plants, I can't tell you what they are, Sandy, but they're self-climbing. So they basically follow the sun and in a clockwise position climb whatever they found to climb. In nature it'd be most likely a tree, but we climb them on twine.
Okay.
A special twine, coco core twine. But
so most folks would be familiar, say, with like a morning glory. Would that yep. be considered a vine in its growing pattern? They don't have clingers, they don't have
nope.
you know.
I don't think so, but
okay,
I'd have to look it up. There's only a few bind,
okay.
actual binds, not binds.
But just that pattern, that spiral pattern versus having a little something that grabs
yep.
hold.
And they have the stem itself is very prickly, almost cat claw-y, where they all attach basically just from that claw. The weight of the plant pulls back down and it holds
okay.
into whatever it's climbing.
So for uses, there's the floral use. Brewing's the most popular. It seems to me some herbalists use them as well. The hop is
essential oils. There's some stuff. In the whole cone state, making hop pillows is probably one of the main ways it'd get used that way.
For helping to calm the nerves, for helping people
same
sleep.
Same thing, yep. Helping people sleep. And yep.
Okay.
The plant itself is in its raw state is full of estrogen, so if you're handling a lot of hops, you've got to be careful with it. But
okay, and is that equally as important for the female workers as much as the male worker? Like, should all hop workers be handling them, say, with gloves, or does that matter gender-wise? As far as how the estrogen is going to affect?
Probably on a commercial basis, everybody should be a little bit concerned with
okay.
it. And then the actually lupulin, there's some fine volatiles that, so if you're processing hops, which few people actually do, but you should actually wear a respirator also. So
oh.
So just because you're dealing with a lot of fine
And so what is the lupulin exactly for
the
folks listening?
The lupulin would be what the brewer is actually after. It contains all the oils. So it contains both the alpha acids and the beta acids. The alphas are the bittering component of the hop oils. All the betas are all the aroma flavor components.
Okay. So I feel like we're getting a little ahead. So let's just kind of back up a little bit to go into like cultivation, propagation. So what's a season of hop growing like, and where are we at this year as far as with the weather? How's your timing coming along?
So timing, the hop plant itself, everything times. It's a very photosensitive crop. So everything times off of that summer solstice, the June 20th solstice. So our year starts basically about April 15th, where we'd want to cut everything back to the ground if we're able to. We're far enough north here that a lot of times April 15th, we may still have snow cover. But we're trying to start our timing so that basically on May 15th, we're training the bind to go up the string.
Okay.
And I'm on a 16-foot trellis. So you want about 2.5 feet of plant material. We trained 3 of the shoots per string. Each plant usually has 2 strings. So we're using 6 shoots. And there's probably on a mature plant, there's we train the plant and then we start trying to get rid of the rest of the plant material.
Wow. And these strings now, are you able to reuse those every year?
They're cut down with the plant at harvest. So at harvest, the hop yard basically gets cleaned back up for the year. So after training, We're waiting for that plant. Usually in a month's time, June 20th, it hits that top 16.5 feet. Some growers grow up to 18 feet tall. The plant itself would grow to 30, 40 feet if you let it go.
Sure, but that's not going to be manageable if you have to be putting these ropes and building
this structure. It's all got to be manageable. 16.5 feet at the solstice, and our timing in this area seems to be about right. We want to have that plant hit the top of the wire right at the solstice, and when we go to short days, that triggers a hormonal change in the plant, and flowering starts. So, sidearm development, then cone development.
So the hop itself, is that a flower structure? Is that a, do you need pollination, you wanting the?
We want no pollination, unless you are doing breeding. We grow all females, and what we are harvesting are flowers.
Okay.
At that point in the cycle of our production, we're thinking more almost, we're growing a flower, a lot of the same best practices for floral. The floral industry take over for a short time, along with almost best practices of the vegetable type industry, because it's a perishable product, so it's dried similar to alfalfa. We're air drying a lot of stuff on the small scale and baling it, but everything we're doing is we're trying to preserve that oil, which will go rancid on us basically.
Oh, wow.
An oxidation process, so as soon as it's dried in the bale, it goes into a cooler and cold storage. It's held cold right up until the time it hits the brewer's brew pot. So oxidation is our big, from the time we harvest, we're worried about oxidizing those hop oils. So
okay, so you've got your timing, and then it's at 16 feet hopefully by the solstice. Now the sunlight is changing, it's going to induce it to flowering, and then now once it's flowering, I mean, how do you manage that volume when the timing is so important to get it harvested and then dried? And so when are those flowers ready, where that
we'll
at its peak?
Mid-August we'll start picking hops. Each variety has about a 7 to 10 day picking window where you can have a little discretion. Early on in that cycle of about 7 to 10 days, the alpha acids are at their peak. We grow on a small scale. The small scale growers are trying to grow for aroma or the beta content that develops later in the cycle. So we have a little bit of wiggle room and time that we can try to do what a brewer would want with that crop. If they're going to use it for bittering or they're going to use it for flavoring or aromas. So
is it like apples too, or is there early season, mid season, late season? So some are kind of ready at different times.
So we try to, in the production cycle, grow enough different varieties of hops to be able to expand our harvest season so that the equipment that we're using gets maximized, basically.
Sure.
So we all harvest hops from mid-August through basically mid to late September.
Okay. So it sounds like your background has kind of prepared you for this as far as being a cut flower grower and having those similarities of the cold storage and the moisture
and having the right thing. Some of the right equipment really helps. Hops are a high-value crop, but it's a high-input crop. So they're picking equipment and drying equipment. There's nothing that you can go and buy right off, from a supplier.
Okay. So how have you handled that then on your farm? What have you you've had to modify
construct stuff. The picking equipment that we use, we've kind of developed here ourselves. Otherwise, it's going to Europe to find picking equipment in the secondary market from small-scale operations in Europe.
Wow.
Everything in the U.S. is geared not to picking an acre of hops, but picking 1,000 acres of hops. So the equipment is massively, and the mind thought is totally different. But the European style, especially when you get to the kind of old world, maybe the old Soviet regime countries that never went through the kind of commercialization change that some of the farms in Europe, like Germany and the Hallertau, and even a little bit in Belgium, changed. So they've went to bigger machinery. So we're copying.
So some of that equipment's available if you can afford to ship it here.
Shipping is half the cost to get it here. So, yep.
So talking about acres, an acre versus 1,000 acres, how many acres do you have at St. Croix Valley Hops?
So we're probably on the large size for growers in this area of Minnesota and Wisconsin. We have just under 5 acres right now. There are a couple 15 to 20 acre farms in Wisconsin, down around the Madison area. And there's one 80-acre farm over in Minnesota in the Foley area.
Oh, wow.
So, but most growers, and I do a lot of education through the Minnesota Hop Growers Association. We do a lot of education. Most growers start out with under a half an acre of hops, and there's probably 20, 30 hop growers of that size in Minnesota, and another 20 in Wisconsin. So
it sounds like, I mean, people kind of get interested in this as a hobby, but it sounds like it's a lot of work, and we're only partway through. We haven't even discussed all the steps yet. So do people learn more and try it out, and then kind of get...
We get a lot of turnover in the industry.
Okay.
Probably in the mid 95% of the people won't make it past year three.
So if you are a person who's interested in hop growing or wants to learn more, we've got a lot more to talk about here today, but I just want to make sure to mention that St. Croix Valley Hops is hosting an open house on Sunday, August 18th, so just a few weeks from now, and that's at 2 o'clock. They're right on Highway 8 across from Deer Lake, so it's 1804 U.S. Highway 8, and that's about 7-8 miles east of St. Croix Falls. So just east of the 35 North Wisconsin turnoff. So if you want to come meet Eric in person and check out some of the equipment, it's my understanding that you built your own harvesting equipment and have modified stuff for your
tractor.
All
the drying equipment is, yep. And then hops have to be, if we're not an organic grower, either organically or in our, or just under a regular system, they have to be sprayed weekly.
And is that a regulation?
That's not a regulation, but okay. that is to control downy mildew. About 100 years ago, Wisconsin led the nation in hop production for about a 10-year period. And downy mildew wiped the crop out. Nobody at that time knew what was going on. Hops moved out to Washington, which is a semi-arid desert type region where they're growing right now. When we moved the crop back here, we're fighting two things, which both, it's downy mildew.
Can you explain a little bit what that means to folks who may not know?
People probably know what powdery mildew is. That's the white kind of powder that your plants will end up with.
With bad circulation, yep. High humidity, moist conditions.
Downy mildew is similar. They're not really related. It gets the same kind of, there's a sporulation under the leaf that is black. But it stunts the plants. You've probably seen it in different crops and not known what it was. But
and is it in our soil then?
It's a soil-borne water. It's a water spore. I won't even try to go there.
That's
so we have to control in a commercial setting a sporulation in the whole yard in a micro-climate. So it's basically a weekly, week to 10-day spray schedule that you're on just to try to keep that sporulation from blowing up. If it blows up, your crop browns out, ends up tasting like onions and garlic.
Which I love, but you wouldn't need to go through all that work for an onion or garlic.
And brewer, you may not love it in your beer.
Probably not.
Onion beer would not be good.
So
but like most, okay, so say in the nursery, nursery production, they're trying to come out with cultivars. Say, bee balm is one that's really known for powdery mildew. So they're always trying to come out with disease-resistant bee balm that's going to be less susceptible. So with the downy mildew and the hops, is there propagation, cultivation, things going on to try to reduce the susceptibility?
Yep.
To find disease resistance.
To find disease resistance. And the trouble, so hops growing in Wisconsin or Minnesota in this area is a relatively new thing. The USDA is our source for plant material. For the last 100 years since hops moved out of this area, hops have been grown for Washington or the Pacific Northwest. They do not fight downy mildew, so downy mildew hasn't been a concern for the breeders. So there is, if there's resistance, it's by chance. They fight powdery mildew, which we may eventually have to fight. It is present here, but hasn't become a problem. So the breeding is way behind. That's where, at this point of time, we need to spray the crop. So breeding program, we've started breeding on the farm here. I have along kind of not hand in hand, but I do get some the University of Minnesota has a breeding program, and I've been able to work with people associated with that program to kind of start and our own program. And we're basically, our emphasis is finding wild cultivars and crossing those into known cultivars and hopefully getting some local resistance and kind of kick-starting a program and then going from there.
Because those wild cultivars or wild plants would have been growing here this
whole time.
They're growing
here and they have some resistance.
Okay.
We still go through a selection process, but the resistance looks awful good, and it's to find males, male plants in those cultivars. All hops that would be commercially grown are female plants, so the male plants are a little bit harder to find.
You need those to cross-pollinate this new plant that you're hoping has this resistance.
Yep.
And then how are you testing to find out if it is resistant? Are you growing it to maturity and waiting? Are you
The old way to do it would be to grow it to maturity. And when I started, I've got some selections that were growing to maturity and selecting that way. But when you start actually getting seed and doing things, you can end up with a lot of cultivars. Each seed produces a new cultivar out of a cross. So you're trying to select down to the best of them. And
Well, and save a little time instead of growing it to maturity.
Hops are planted at a rate of about 1,000 plants to the acre. I've got one cross that was 4,000 plants. So out of that 4,000 plants, I'm looking for maybe one individual that may be good. The industry standard is you start with 50,000 plants and you will get one selection.
So have you found a way to test for this then without growing it?
So we do some bench selection where we can put things on the bench, inoculate it with disease, and look at it there. So if we can knock a quarter to half of those plants off, another half of those plants will be males. All of a sudden, you just start doing the math. You can start whittling it down kind of quickly.
But better on the greenhouse bench, taking up less space than out in the field.
It's a lot cheaper to do out in the field. At 5 acres of hops, I've got 5,000 plants. I've got 5,000 cultivars in the greenhouse right now. I've got to select down. So I can't afford to put 5,000 plants looking for one out in the field. So.
Wow.
You must work at this all day and half the night. I mean, that's a lot of work.
To grow an acre of hops, what we tell people is they've got to set aside 20 acres or 20 hours a week to be able to do that. And there's a lot of growers that jump in and they're trying to work a job or a regular job. And maybe year one, you put that 20 hours in. By year two, three, it's hard to not take a vacation. We do this full time, so.
So what do you do in the wintertime? I mean, does that time off for you?
A little bit of time off, but that's when I'm also I hold a nursery license, so we do hop propagation for other farmers. So all winter long, it's greenhouse work for me. So
heated with wood, which is a whole nother level
heated
of work,
with wood?
Work in itself.
My word. So where do you find the time to do that? You cut your own wood?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. You're just a glutton for work, aren't you?
I guess so.
So talking about cultivars, you know, you mentioned coming up with new cultivars. So, you know, there's some cultivars that are going to be more popular than others or the things that brewers are looking for. Like, are you out connecting with the brewers? Are people contracting you to grow? Like, how do you know as things kind of ebb and flow with popularity what to grow and how to commit your time? And, of course, these are perennial plants, so you're not going to want to be yanking them own these roots already.
It takes about 3 years to get a plant into good production. We can get a little bit before that. So, yeah, you're making a long-term commitment. We are growing probably the wrong cultivars for what the industry is looking for. There's privately held cultivars and publicly held cultivars. We can grow all the publics, but what's really driving the craft industry are IPAs right now. And the hops that go into those IPAs are privately held cultivars.
Patented.
Basically patented. Okay. The industry, because it's such a small, actually, area of industry out west, over 100 years of growing, they've just started doing that themselves. Another reason we're doing breeding ourselves is just the USDA is far behind, and what they've been working on isn't really, they were working on new cultivars for out west, not for the Midwest. So
they're starting to step up now, though, and recognize
And we've got one or two cultivars that are acceptable to the trade, I'll say. They're very disease prone, but they do carry the tropical aromas that the brewers are looking for. So we've switched over, kind of went to some of that kind of stuff. We probably on 5 acres of hops, I spend one day a week out on the road doing sales work, just trying to connect with brewers. We're finding that maybe there's some European landrace stuff that may be a little more appealing to a craft brewer. As they develop their skills, they're probably going to want to start doing some traditional lagering of beers. Those aren't the cultivars that are leading the market. They're the cultivars that are grown in Europe, and acreage hasn't really increased on those. So all of a sudden, there's going to be a demand for for the Saz and the Hallertau, Tettnanger, some German or Czechoslovakian Landrace hops, and we may have an opportunity in some of those cultivars. Oh. So just because of market demand. And the same expansion has been happening in Europe, but they're using the same publicly held cultivars that we're growing. So
So you really need to stay on top of this. So through the Minnesota Hop Growers Association, are you, I know you do education with them, but are they, like, where are you getting your, from the brewers or from
both. Okay. We do education, and a lot of, we get some good speakers, have the opportunity to get good speakers in, but also then through, I'm not a guild member, but I do attend Minnesota Brewers Guild events that on the educational side. Haven't done any of the Wisconsin Brewers Guild stuff. A lot of that's down in the Madison area where the Twin Cities market is just closer.
Yeah, it's just so accessible.
It's more accessible. So I and
those would be the people who'd probably be buying your product because you're close to them.
And, yep.
And is the movement toward, you know, there's this movement now to go local, buy local, all that. Has that helped increase
that
local
is our,
brewers buying?
Basically, our main one of our main selling points. As we learn more and more, our quality, we should be able to do a better job in quality doing artisanal type stuff for the local brewer. But, yeah.
If someone wanted to try some beer brewed with St. Croix Valley hops, are there any places that you can recommend where they could go and visit the brewery, or there's some things available? I know Marketplace and Osceola Valley Spirits, you know, they've got some pretty good big selections now of craft beer. And
I haven't been down to Valley, that's in
Osceola.
They do carry a Northwoods, a lot of their strains. So Northwoods Brew Pub down in Osceola, Wisconsin, that distributes, has almost all their beer has something of ours in it.
Oh, wow.
On the distributing side.
And that brand was Northwoods? Is what
that's
people?
Northwoods. Okay. That's in the stores.
Okay.
But then Ideal, basically all the local breweries know who I am and may carry something. Down in Roberts, Bobtown has almost all their beer has some of our hops in it, unless they're doing some of that.
And that's in Roberts,
that's
Bobtown.
In Roberts,
okay.
Wisconsin.
And I've seen her cans in Valley Spirits,
yep.
Also.
And so Pitchfork Brewing in Hudson uses a little bit of our stuff. Then locally, Trap Rock Brewing, basically anything that they can use, uses our stuff.
Oh, excellent. And the Canal Park, I know I've gone, we didn't
hops,
really even get into
yeah.
this wet hop,
wet
hops, dry
we
hop,
do quite a few.
But I know I've gotten
yeah,
some
since
from
I mentioned
wet hop every
Round
year.
Man up in Spooner, the Uncommon Loon over in Chisago does quite a bit of stuff. Brickfield up in Grantsburg is used
wow.
our stuff.
So go out, folks, and try some of these places and either pick them up at the store or go visit. You can see the next level. There's never seems to be enough time here. If anyone wants to contact Eric, 612-702-3595. You can call and text him. Email EADEERLAKE.
Yeah, EADEERLAKE.
Okay, at gmail.com. So EADEERLAKE at gmail.com. And then there's the website, St. Croix Valley Hops.
Which has a contact
and there's
spot
contact
on there too,
information there. And then don't forget about that open house, folks. Sunday, August 18th at 2 o'clock at St. Croix Valley Hops. It's also the same location as Deer Lake Gardens, which has been around for many years. So you may have noticed that going by. And now the hops have expanded toward the road, so they're more visible. Sunday, August 18th, 2 o'clock, 1804. U.S. Highway 8. It's about a mile east of the Wisconsin 35 North. Well, Eric, thank you so much. There's so much more to talk about, I always feel like.
Yeah,
but
thanks for having me.
But we enjoyed it. Thank
yep.
you.
And that's Plant Rant for this first Friday of the month with Sandra the Plant Lady and guest.